Our text today comes from Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and can be found on page 1 from the New Testament. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? Good morning, dear Lord. We give you thanks for this day and this time that you have appointed for us to come and to be here. This is not a coincidence. It's not a happenstance. This is an appointment. This is a plan that you have put in place for us to be here. And so we're just grateful and ask that whatever it is that you have brought us here for, you would fulfill that promise and that intention that we would hear you speak in Christ's name. Amen. So this Advent, these second, third, and fourth Sundays of Advent, I want to borrow a page from Charles Dickens' great novel, The Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by three ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. If you were here last week, we looked at Christmas past, the way that the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Jesus, is actually to be found in the Old Testament. Stories that were written hundreds of years before Jesus that prophesied his coming, that talked about the event that would happen many, many years later. Today I want to talk about Christmas present. I want to talk about the event of the birth of Jesus and to suggest that while that was a singular event that happened 2020 years ago in a little out-of-the-way town of Bethlehem, that event of the presence of God breaking into the world is something that continues to this present day. In other words, Christmas isn't just the celebration of something that happened a long time ago. It surely is that, this telling of this story. But that Christmas is a present reality today. Now, the fancy churchy word for Christmas is incarnation. The incarnation means literally the enfleshment. Carne is the Latin word for flesh. Incarnation means God, the Spirit of God, became human, became flesh, became incarnate. And that's what we celebrate on Christmas, is the incarnation. As I said, this was a singular event. We just heard it read according to the evangelist Matthew, how it took place in this town of Bethlehem. This woman who had never been with a man who becomes pregnant, who becomes filled with God. and the dilemma that her husband Joseph faces in finding out this information. And this baby who was born. It is the story, according to Matthew, of the incarnation, God becoming one of us. And in order to try to explain this, he draws on an Old Testament passage, which we'll look at a little bit more closely. But while that was a singular event, very soon other people who weren't there began to have an experience of the incarnate Jesus in their lives as well. People began to experience the presence of Jesus, and then after he was put to death and was resurrected, lo and behold, people continued to experience Jesus alive, Jesus with them, Jesus speaking to them. The presence of Jesus was still in the world. The incarnation became an ongoing event. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is writing after the event of the resurrection, and he says that Jesus appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, his Greek word for the name for Peter, then to the 12 other apostles, then to more than 500 people at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the other apostles, people who were taking this good news out into the world. And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Christmas came to the Apostle Paul as he was walking on a road to Damascus. 30-some years after that original Christmas, the incarnation became a reality for this man, Paul. He experienced Jesus. That is Christmas present. Now, Paul's experience was unique, as is all of ours. But my point is, friend, that today could be your Christmas present. Jesus wants to become a living, breathing reality in your life and in mine. Christmas wants to continue to come. And so our text says something very powerful. So Joseph is confronted with this really impossible dilemma. This woman he loves, who he assumes has been faithful, who now he suddenly discovers is expecting a child. And I love her, but how can I stay in this relationship? And so he's made up his mind. He's going to divorce her. He's going to leave her quietly. And in a dream, God comes and speaks to him. God begins to act and move in his life and says, "Don't be afraid to take her. I'm in this thing. I know you don't understand it. I know it doesn't make any sense, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. Stay with her. This is my work." And so the angel explains to Joseph how this is going to be. It's the great mystery of the virgin birth. And then the evangelist Matthew inserts a little parenthesis, a little explanation of what's happening here. Again, hearkening on our Christmas past, he brings in one of these great texts. And it says this: "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,'" which means God is with us. Now, this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 7. It's one of the most controversial passages in all of the Bible, because in the original Hebrew, the word there actually says a young woman will conceive, which could be a virgin or not. The thought is that because it was a young woman, that she was also a virgin. And so when the Hebrew scripture was first translated into Greek, the translators picked a different word in the Greek that's very specifically a virgin. But the original Hebrew word is a young woman, and there is a separate Hebrew word that would talk about a young woman who is a virgin. But the Greek uses the more specific word. So there's a lot of controversy about this. But the point is that the gospel writer, in trying to make sense of the first incarnation, draws upon Scripture as a way of understanding that God was in the midst of this amazing, mysterious act and interprets it through this beautiful passage of Old Testament at a time when people were troubled, when people were perplexed. The prophet Isaiah said, God is going to break in. There's going to be a child who's going to be born, who's going to bring hopefulness into this situation. And that child's name is going to be Emmanuel. The Hebrew word Emmanuel literally means God is with us. El is the Hebrew word for God. Eman is here now. God is here with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. The evangelist, Matthew, is telling us that this event of incarnation is in line with God's ongoing desire to be with us, to be with you, to make himself known to you. And so the question is, how can we experience Christmas in the present? How do we experience incarnation today? How does Jesus become real to you and to me? And I want to suggest there are sort of four agencies through which the Spirit of God, Emmanuel, continues to be with us. The first one is through inspiration. Incarnation, the enfleshment of God, for many people, comes through inspiration, the experience of God's Spirit. Most people don't see Jesus enfleshed these days. I guess occasionally people might say they see a vision of some kind, like Paul did on the road. But for most people, the experience of God is through the agency of the Holy Spirit, or what we call inspiration. That is the story of Joseph. Joseph experiences God speaking to him through an angel in a dream. He is wrestling with a deep, difficult decision, and he doesn't know what to do. And in the midst of that, he has a dream. He has an inspired moment in which he feels a conviction that he needs to stick in this relationship. He needs to stay with this woman. He needs to trust God in the midst of a situation in which there doesn't look to be anything to be trusted. And that is the way so many people experience incarnation today, in an inspired moment, as people wrestle with, what am I supposed to do with my life? Is this the right guy, the right girl for me? What career path should I follow? How do I deal with this tough ethical dilemma that I'm in? People wrestling with decisions often find inspiration somewhere along the way, a sense of rightness or oughtness. I know a lot of people who've had these inspired moments. Sometimes a musician will tell me, I didn't know what I was going to do, but the first time I picked up that guitar, sat at the piano, I knew there was something about that just spoke to me. I knew I had to do this. I had to pursue this. The first time a writer picks up the pen, or a young person visits a hospital with their to visit a sick relative and just know, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to do. Sometimes you just can't explain it, can you? When you're inspired, when something happens and God begins to move in your life, it's almost kind of like a madness. It's almost like falling in love. I mean, how do you explain that? You walk into a room, there's a bunch of people there, and there's one person that for some reason you're drawn to, you're attracted to, you need to know that person, you need to meet them. You can't explain it, I don't understand it myself, but I just know this is what I need to do, this is who I need to pursue, this is what I have to do in my life. Have you ever had that kind of an inspiration? We don't all get it, but many of us do. It's a sort of an overwhelming sense of purpose, of calling, of rightness, of oughtness. It may well be the incarnation. It may be your greatest Christmas present ever. To encounter the calling of God in the here and the now. To know that there's something important that you are uniquely qualified and gifted to do, and to pursue that with your heart and mind and soul and strength is an awesome moment and an awesome gift. But let's be clear, not every inspiration is necessarily from God. There are a lot of people who get inspired to do things that are really not very healthy or not very good for them. And so our inspirations, our sense of calling, our sense of God in our life has to be balanced with some other forms of Christmas present. Some other ways of knowing, is this truly God? And the second one is through the Scripture. The Scripture is God's way of continuing to make Himself known to us. The reason that we read the Bible is not to know the Bible better. The reason we study the Bible is not to impress our friends and family with how much Bible we know, how quickly we can find the page in the chapter. The reason we read the Bible is to know God better, because God continues to be incarnate, to be present, to be accessible to us in the here and now through the Scriptures. It's amazing how God continues to speak in the here and now through words that were written thousands of years ago. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Word, the living Word of God who became flesh, that continues to make that enfleshment known through the Word. And that's why we come to Scripture. Because when we're inspired, when we think God might be saying something to us, it's really important to make sure that that's in alignment with what God has clearly taught us over the centuries and over the millennia through the Scriptures. And so we come to Scripture and we find confirmation or redirection or new insight in order to say, is this really Christmas for me today? Is Jesus speaking to me in this way? You know, all preaching is teaching the Scripture. That's what preaching is. It's taking the text of the Scripture and applying it into people's lives to try to help people understand what these stories mean and what these words mean. And every once in a while, you go to church and you hear a sermon and somebody explain the Scripture and you say, oh my goodness, I was just thinking about that. I was wondering about that. Or I came and I was sort of confused and I was, you know, struggling with a decision, and something happened in the context of worship as somebody was explaining the Scriptures that seemed to be a direct insight into my life. And people will tell me that from time to time, and it's just amazing. I always say, well, you know, I have spyware set up on your computer. That's how I knew what you were dealing with. That is simply the Holy Spirit. That's just the way God works. God speaks to us through the Scripture. The same way God spoke to Joseph, and that speech was interpreted by Old Testament Scripture, God speaks in our lives today and then confirms what He's saying to us through the clear teachings of Scripture. And so when a Scripture seems to jump off the page and just speak exactly into our life situation, Christmas comes in the present. But you know, sometimes reading the Bible on our own can be really challenging and difficult. And so the third way in which we experience incarnation today is through fellowship, through the church, the community of faith. That's why we encourage people to be in some kind of a small group of Christians, of Christ followers, of people who are searching Scripture for truth that's going to speak to them, that can share that experience with other people. It is something extraordinary that happens in the fellowship of other Christ followers that allows the incarnation to come today, for Emmanuel to be the God with us right in the here and right in the now. The first Christians, as they began to experience this strange presence of Jesus in their gatherings, began to refer to the church as the body of Christ. The church, the community of faith, was the incarnation in the world. Jesus present to people through his gathered community of followers. Friends, you and I, having heard God's voice, having been drawn together, now have the great privilege of continuing that incarnation for others. In other words, you and I may be God's greatest Christmas present to somebody else who doesn't know the voice of God, and they experience through the love and the community of the church. I cannot even tell you how often I run into people all around this area who have heard about you. They haven't heard about you, but they've heard about Jesus Christ through you. You know, just yesterday, our deacons were going out into our community taking baskets of food and gifts that had been collected through the students at the high school and taking them to homes out in our area. And I ran into somebody who knew of one of the families who had been on the receiving end of this caregiving of our deacons over many, many years, who just said, "That church has blessed this family in such a powerful way. Christmas continues to come through the incarnation of the church." It was mission night down at Crossroads this past week. They send the kids out into the community to go bless people in different places. And one of them was a street ministry. They just sent them out into the streets, into the community, just go find people. I think JC said they gave them $20. He said, "Take $20 and go bless people. Do something." And they were over at the ShopRite, and there was some family coming out who were obviously people who were new to this country, and there was some language issues there, and there were a lot of little kids, and they were trying to buy groceries. And it turned out this family had just arrived. And this man was kind of a relative of this family and was trying to buy some food for these people who were newcomers to this community. And they gave him that $20, and they began to weep that somebody in this country cared about them, even though they didn't know them, had never met them, didn't speak their language, but spoke the language of love. The incarnation, the Christmas present in the present. And so God speaks to us through inspiration. That inspiration is confirmed through the words of Scripture. Scripture comes alive through the fellowship of the family. But friends, there's one other place. If you don't know who God is, if you've never heard him speak to you, if you've never experienced him, then you need to get involved in serving others. There is something about serving the poor that confirms the presence of Jesus in the world today. Christ shows up in the lives of the people who are the least and the lost in ways that is astonishing. Virtually every single one of you who's ever gone on one of our mission experiences, whether it's to Maine, to Guatemala, to Africa, will say, "I went thinking I was going to bless others, And in that experience and in that encounter, I was the one who was blessed. I experienced God in those places, in those moments. I want to tell you the story of Leo Tolstoy, probably the greatest of all the great Russian novelists. Tolstoy wrote War and Peace back in 1863, during the era of the Civil War here in our country. He was born into an aristocratic family, very wealthy, very well-to-do, went to the best of schools, and was already a huge literary sensation as a young man. And yet Tolstoy felt this gnawing, deep sense of emptiness. In 1869, right after he published War and Peace, he went on a trip and to a distant Russian province, and he underwent, and this is from one of his biographers, an agonizing experience of human mortality. Middle of the night, he was seized by a sense of futility of all his endeavors. And it seemed to him, the fact is that his life seemed to have no meaning if death was guaranteed to follow. This experience had haunted him forcefully for 10 years. He wrote a book later on of his conversion to Christianity called A Confession, and he talked about this restless searching for meaning in the life, and he looked to the great thinkers of science, religion, and philosophy, all in vain. Nowhere could he find anything that gave meaning and value to his life. So much was his despair that he contemplated suicide. Then came the breakthrough. He observed the peasants around him, which, as a proud aristocrat, he had hitherto overlooked, and they seemed to have an approach to life and death that had calm and serenity in it that he lacked. Why? What was it that helped them remain so serene in the face of the apparent futility of life? Tolstoy realized that what they had was faith. It so intrigued him, and it gave him hope, and so he plunged into the reading of Scripture, into the Bible. And he did it with renewed enthusiasm in the hope that the meaning of life would finally be disclosed to him, and this time it was. Tolstoy's story is uniquely his, but it really is a story that is for all. An inspired man, visited by God with the gifts of being an author, who finds that there is an emptiness to life that he begins to discover in the lives of the poor that inspire him back into the Scriptures and eventually into the community of faith. That changes his life and changes his perspective. Christmas comes to Leo Tolstoy through service and Scripture and fellowship and inspiration. And so, how about you? Is Christmas a story? It took place a long time ago. Is Christmas about someone else and their lives? Or will this be your Christmas present this year, now, today? Lord, thank you for the gift of Emmanuel, the promise that God is with us. For those who've not yet experienced the inflowing of your incarnation, the power of your word, I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to them in whatever way you choose. Thank you for the gift of Scripture, of fellowship, of community, of opportunities to serve. Thank you, God, for being the God of Christmas present. In Jesus' name, amen.